Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time Gospel broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day to share this time of broadcasting the gospel with you. And I trust that whatever you're doing, you can take time out, get your Bible, if it's at all possible, and let's study the Word of God together. We're looking in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8, as we continue our study on scriptural giving. We've been looking at the teaching of the Apostle Paul here to the saints at Corinth. In verse number 1 through verse number 6, we saw the examples of the churches of Macedonia as he sets before them the grace of God, the grace of giving that God has wrought in the lives of the Macedonian churches. We saw that they gave out of their poverty. They were willing to give beyond their power. They were willing to give as partners. And the real secret was they gave their person first to the Lord, then their possession to his laborers. Then in verse number 7, Paul turns from the examples of the churches of Macedonia to exhorting the church there at Corinth. First of all, in the exhortation, he commends them. In verse number 7, he said, "Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence," then he commands them, "See that you abound in this grace also," this grace of giving to missions. As Paul is writing this, Paul is imagining the response of the saints at Corinth. He feels that necessity that he explained to them why they should give to missions. And I pointed out to you in verse number 8, first of all, that they and we today are to give to missions to prove the sincerity of our love, very plainly stated there in the last part of verse number 8. Put your money where your mouth is. Talk is cheap. It's easy to say, "I love the Lord. I love missionaries. I want the world to hear the gospel." But Paul said, prove the sincerity of your love by your giving. The Word of God very plainly teaches that in verse number 8. Then in verse number 9, we saw where he gives them the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only are we to give to prove the sincerity of our love, but we're to give to practice real Christ-likeness. He who was rich became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. You see, he gave up what he had so others who did not have it could receive it freely and enjoy it for all eternity. Now, you and I have the wonderful opportunity of giving some money. Give up some of our materialism, some of our possessions. And by doing so, those who do not have the gospel can hear the gospel and be saved by the grace of God. So by our giving of our substance to the missionary, we too become like the Lord Jesus Christ, a savior unto the lost and dying world. But then I want you to notice in verse number 9 and verse number 10, not only are we to give to prove the sincerity of our love, and we're to give to practice real Christ-likeness, but Paul instructs those Corinthian believers, as well as you and I today, that we're to give to perform a promise. Look at verse number 10 and verse number 11. He said, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that is, there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have." Now what's he saying in these verses? Look at verse number 10 again. He said, "You and I give my advice, that this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." Now listen to me carefully. Verse number 10 tells us that something happened a year ago at the church at Corinth. And when that something happened, the Corinthian believers responded in a twofold manner. Number one, they did something immediately. He said not only to do, but number two, they were forward in making a commitment to do more. Not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now what happened in the church at Corinth? I can tell you what happened. They received the first epistle that Paul wrote to them. And when they read 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, they responded not only to give immediately to the need that was at Jerusalem, but also to enter into God's order of giving to missions on a systematic basis, an individual basis, and then to give according as God prospered them. Give it to that local church, and let it be distributed by the authority of that local church. So they began doing that. Then the famine came. Paul said to them in verse number 11, "Now therefore, perform the doing of it. You said you would. You started doing it a year ago, but now something has happened." So he said to them in verse number 11, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will." A year ago, you were ready to do something. You willed to do something. Then he said, "So there may be a performance also out of that which you have." Paul said, "You promised it. God is providing for you. And now you take care of the missionary as God is taking care of you." Let me read that verse again. Paul said, "Now therefore perform the doing. Do what you said you would do. That is, there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have." There's a question that arises often as I preach faith missions and faith promise giving across the country. When you make that commitment to faith, "Preacher, do I only give it as God sends it in, or do I give it and then trust God to take care of my need?" Well, the Bible answers that question very plainly right here in verse number 11. He said that there may be a performance also out of that which you have. You see, God is not going to send you a letter in the mail with money in it that is marked, "Attention, missions offering." No, he does not do it that way. But God will provide funds for you, sufficient for you to give to missions, and then as you give to missions, sufficient to meet your need. So Paul says to the saints at Corinth that you're to give to missions, number one, to prove the sincerity of your love. Number two, to practice real Christ-likeness. And then number three, to perform a promise that was made. You see, missionaries don't need all of their money today. They will not need all their money for a year this Sunday. But they make that commitment to go, and we make that commitment to give. So that means they go by faith, and we give by faith, and God honors faith. I believe I read in this Bible that the Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the Bible also said, the just shall live by faith. And the Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we make that promise by faith that we will give to the mission program of our church. Then the church makes a promise by faith that we will support the missionary to go to the field and serve the Lord in the field of his calling. So you know what that means? I am giving by faith. My church is supporting the missionaries by faith. The missionary goes to the field by faith. And friend, I want to tell you, God honors faith. I'm not going to put any adjectives in front of it. I'm not going to say God honors great faith, strong faith, big faith. I'm just going to simply say God honors faith. If God can find somebody who will believe him, trust him, and obediently respond to his word and to his will, then my friend, God will provide for both the missionary and for the church member that is giving. Now, look at your Bible again. In verse number 13 and verse number 14, we find the fourth reason for giving to missions. Number one, to prove the sincerity of your love. Number two, to practice real Christ-likeness. Number three, to perform a promise. Now, number four, we're to give to missions to prevent inequality. Look at verse number 13. The Bible said, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality." I love these verses of scripture. Verse number 13, he said, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened." Let me speak from that plain language. Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, we're not asking you to support some spiritual hobo who is on a quote-unquote sanctified vacation doing nothing in the work of God. We're not asking the church to assume financial responsibility and relieve that person of providing for his family just because he wants to go over there somewhere and live in another country. That's not it. This Bible is very plain. A man that's too sorry to eat, starve the devil out of him. Them that don't work, don't let them eat. A lamp that will not burn in America will not burn in Africa. And a Christian that does not work for God in America would not work for the Lord on a foreign field. So we're not relieving some deadbeat of their financial responsibility to provide for their family. But what we are doing is preventing inequality. Look at verse number 14. "That now at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want." That verse is very simple, and that's a plan of God that's unbreakable. You help someone in their time of need, and God will have someone help you in your time of need. But as I approached this verse of scripture, my thought was, well, I know what I've got that the missionary needs, but what will the missionary ever have that I will need? And as I studied this, God let me see and come to this conclusion. You see, we help the missionary now financially, and he helps us at the judgment seat of Christ with fruit. Should we who stay here in America have everything now and stand empty-handed at the judgment seat of Christ? Should the missionary go to the mission field and live in poverty now and have everything when he stands at the judgment seat of Christ? No, my friend. We who stay here and enjoy the blessings of God financially, then we help the missionary now financially. They go and win people to God, and their fruit becomes our fruit, and they share that fruit with us at the judgment seat of Christ. So we give to prove the sincerity of our love. We give to practice real Christ-likeness. We give to perform a promise, and we give to prevent inequality. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the radio stations that carry the Harvest Time Gospel broadcast. November is our anniversary month. On the first Monday in November of 2002, I began broadcasting the Harvest Time Gospel broadcast. God has been so good to us. Lives have been blessed. We've had a report of one dear lady being saved by listening to the broadcast, and God has blessed us. We're on about 45 to 50 stations as we pass through our anniversary month. And I need to hear from a number of you. Your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on your station during the coming year. So I encourage you, take a few moments today as we leave the air, pray for us, and then sit down and write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address your letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Be sure to include the call letters of the station you listen to, and your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on the air where you're listening. God bless you until the next broadcast.
I do not.